Hey, last podcast on the left, listeners. Fantastic. Today's going to be great. I'm one of your hosts, Henry Zabrowski. I'm sitting here with Ed Larson.
Hello.
And we have the privilege to be at Contact in the Desert, hungover, at a UFO conference. It feels good. It feels good to be here. We're sitting here with two legends.
Yes.
People that are like, we are very, very excited to. I'm a little too hungover to be in front of you, Mr. Knapp, but I'm fine with it. This is it. Mm-hmm. This is life. But we're sitting here with investigative journalist George Knapp and documentarian Jeremy Corbell of the Weaponized Podcast. It is largely, besides ours, the best on the internet.
We're good.
Don't. We have to prop ourselves up in front of these men. But it's so good. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Had we known what the setting was, we could have been hungover as well.
Yeah, buddy.
We should have tried. We didn't do proper preparation for this.
Would you guys not, because are you a partier, George?
I have been down that road over my years. Yeah. I mean, I live in Las Vegas.
Oh, man. Okay. Can I ask, like, living in Vegas, because I've been trying to convince my wife to let us move to Vegas, and she keeps saying, no, we're going to die there. How do you
Isn't
live-
that the point?
Yeah, I know. But how do you like live in Vegas? Like, what's your regular role in Vegas?
I'm a homebody these days, you know. But when I first moved there, I tried to embrace all that Las Vegas had to offer. And you can, the fact is, you can only run so long, so hard, so fast for an extended period, and you got to stop.
Yeah.
The town keeps going. Humans, you reach your limit. You
know? God,
I learned that 4 or 5 years in.
Damn. He's unkillable. I have tried. I've dragged him around this earth. He is unkillable.
That's so good to hear. Honestly, it's very good to hear.
It's a great place to live. Las Vegas is a great place to live.
I love it.
You know, home prices, for example, Southern California. I've seen friends of mine who will spend $1 million on a 1,400 square foot home that's 150 years old.
It really depresses me, to be honest with you.
And you can buy, a 4,000 square foot home for half that price.
So, we're going to Vegas. You hear that? You hear that, Natalie? We're going to Vegas. I want to go. I can't wait.
And it's a real community.
Oh, yeah.
Families, schools, you know, neighborhoods, and it's a great place to live. I mean, if you want to run with the town and visit the strip and go crazy, there are plenty of opportunities for that, but most people do not. The only time people who are longtime locals go to the strip is when family comes to town and they need to see a show.
And they're forced.
It's like
Times Square.
Yeah.
My dad lived in Reno, which is kind of like California's Bakersfield, I guess.
I love Reno. Reno's got a lot of spirit.
Yeah. That means you mean ghosts.
Yes, it's haunted.
word on the street is that I've always thought there should be a good UFO comedian, and you went up on stage yesterday. Is that correct?
On Friday, Friday. I did a nice 15 minutes before Tim Crawford of UFO TV. And it went really well.
You did very, very well.
I was very happy about it.
There were several old ladies.
I could have,
They were ready to cart you out. They wanted to. They were all like, he's so silly. They kept saying that he's silly. I can't believe a silly person.
So he crushed it at a UFO convention. That's a good start.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
No, it was good.
And do you feel like when you were in the mix, when you guys are together, because now that you're becoming sort of like an investigative team, would you call it like that?
Yes.
Do you feel like almost your level of recognition, does it make it difficult to kind of get in on stories, like more so back in the day? Like, do you feel like as an investigative journalist that because like your profile is raised, like it's harder to get info, or is it easier?
It's easier in one sense in that a lot of more people will seek us out at other places other than something like this. To get around here, we're being followed by a TV crew right now for Jeremy's show. So walking around here, they've been able to document. You can't go 2 feet without getting stopped and swamped and selfies and autographs and things like that.
Yeah, you guys are like Elvis here.
Yeah,
somewhat.
It is a convention, though.
Yes. That's how I feel,
People are very nice. It's nice to be able to interact with them and see them in person, and they seem to enjoy having a chance to talk to us. But it is hard to get anything done somewhere like here. But in the larger sense, having a higher profile, people who have information that is verifiable and important, they seek us out. They know how to find us. And that it's paid off in a big way in the last couple of years.
Yeah, that was honestly something I really wanted to ask you about is like you guys seem to get everything first, you know, before anyone else. And, you know, it's like How, like, is it because of your reputation or is it just because you have these contacts that we don't know about or what?
Combination, contacts. I mean, I've been at this a long time. Jeremy and I together have been at it a long time now, but mine dates back 35, 36 years. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Lucky to be in Las Vegas. I had no idea when I moved there, there was a Nellis Air Force Base, the Nevada test site, let alone a place called Area 51. Mm-hmm. And, just being in the right place at the right time to meet people like Robert Lazar, Bob Bigelow, John Alexander, Colin Kelleher. Las Vegas became the unofficial capital of UFO research for 25 straight years. I couldn't tell a lot of that stuff when it was happening, but I was allowed into these circles. And because I kept my word, you know, because I kept my word and didn't report things that I would learn along the way, until it was the right time and I had the okay to go, that word spread and people would trust me. And it spread now. And the same thing is happening with Jeremy. He's a guy who could be trusted to keep his mouth shut and to live up to agreements and not burn sources is most important.
What does the government think of you guys?
Do you feel like you get extra attention? Because I was saying this, because I do wonder whether or not, like,
you're just bad at taxes. That's why you got audited.
From government.
Yeah.
Yeah, both overt and covert. I mean, George and I have great sources within every... It's funny, when I was just starting to kind of learn from you, you listed off all these agencies and acronyms, and I had no idea who they were, you know, just all these three. But we have such good collective now, independent and collective sources within agencies that we get a heads up sometimes when people are fucking with us, from agencies. That has happened. Wow. And I've directly to their face called them out. And we're talking long game. Someone from NSA will make friends with me, give me a good piece of intel that's not too suspicious. Year and a half later, come to find out that person's real job. That is a real thing. There is a high level of interest in UFOs by the United States government. There is. This is not just fun and games. I mean, it's a fun UFO conference we're at, but it's the real deal shit. When you're breaking stories like George has been for 35 years on UFOs, and I have been for about 10 years with George, of course there's interest. We've had covert and overt approaches to us from agencies, which is kind of frightening to me that George and I will be in a skiff giving a briefing, like a secure location for government, giving a briefing on the current state of UFO stuff that we know. It kind of makes me feel like, what the fuck? If we're the best resource for some of that... So the real deal, to your question, the real, let's be serious for a second. Yeah, man, our government is very aware of the reality of the UFO presence on planet Earth. Whatever UFOs are, wherever they're from, that is not sci-fi. That is not a throwaway statement. That shit is real. Now, we're not feeling pressured. Like, we're journalists. We're never giving up sources. My mom said to me, you better fucking go to jail if ever someone asks you something like that. Yeah. I mean, real deal. We protect sources, but we got great sources, both within government and others.
Just to add to that, we know for sure, it's been publicly confirmed, that at least two Department of Justice investigations have been launched because of images that we made public. We are supposedly not the target, but it is hardly reassuring to be told, you're not really the target. We're trying to figure out where this leak came from. And it might be more than two, but two for sure that the Pentagon has confirmed, yeah, the Department of Justice is looking into this, what we made public.
Do you feel like they have to look from the outside in? Do you feel like it's because the secret-keeping mechanisms are so complex that they don't even know who's got what from the inside? Is that why they go basically look to
Absolutely.
Civilians?
It's stovepiping. They stovepiped. So this program, OSAP, that we've reported on a lot, that we made public in 2018, it was within the DIA. And the number of people that knew is less than three hands of fingers, not less than 15. The top people at DIA knew, the people who were involved in the program knew, but the guy in the desks next to him on either side, they had no idea. And it wasn't until Senator Harry Reid tried to turn it into a special access program that the rest of the Pentagon and the intelligence community knew what they were up to. And as soon as they found out, it was all hands on deck and they pulled out the knives to kill it. But yeah, there are stovepipes that keep this information restricted. Other intelligence agencies don't know. Other people in the same intelligence agency don't know.
But the thing about pipes is they leak.
Pipes get leaks. They do. It's true. Because, well, it's also the stuff's too juicy. Yeah. Like on some point, like that was like my one of my main true contentions about like the concept of there being an overarching CIA based conspiracy to kill John F. Kennedy, where it's like at some point humans love attention. You mean to really tell me there's not going to be some guy in his deathbed who's going to give us the whole kit and caboodle? Like it's going to be, it's, I feel like
conversely, just people take their security oaths very seriously. People are pages, even people that leak stuff. They're not trying to screw over the U.S. government. These are people that work in that position who really have access at that level. They are true patriots. They understand there's a real threat from foreign nations. Like even for us, the idea of foreign nation could hack whatever access we have to stuff we haven't vetted yet, let's say. Let's say we get dumped a bunch of military videos. The big threat, our agencies will say, the biggest concern they have, we're journalists. They know we're abiding by the law of journalism. But what if a foreign nation were to access things that we have access to because we're dopes with our computers or something like that?
Yeah.
And then before we can vet it, you know, then they get a heads up, something we shouldn't put out or something. Yeah. But that's a real concern, is that other nations are truly fascinated with the current state of technology and how far we've progressed with alleged reverse engineering programs of non-human technology. Whoever does that, they fucking win. The second somebody can replicate some of these technologies we see, that is a world dominating power.
Yeah.
So I'd say that's a real sincere threat, is that other nations would try to fuck with journalists more than even the US government.
I would add too, to your example of JFK, you know, the number of people, if that was a murder approved by CIA, the number of people who knew about it is pretty small.
Yeah.
And the people who pulled it off, if they actually murdered the president, what do they think is going to happen to them if they tell somebody they murdered the president? The fact is, a lot of the information about what's hinky about the JFK investigation has come out.
Yes.
Same with UFOs. The broad strokes are out there.
Yes.
Leaks have happened. And witnesses have come forward. Documents have been produced. The public, if you take the time to research it, the evidence is there. But until there is an official confirmation, the president steps forward, or until they make some demonstration that's unequivocal, undeniable, you know, people go about their normal lives and don't pay that much attention to it. There have been leaks. It is out there. If you pay attention, you can connect the dots, but most people don't do that.
Live from your grave.
You know, especially listening to what David Grush was saying, and a lot of now, like the new thing now is like, I love the new term NHI. Right, because like, that's new. I love
non-human intelligence.
Yeah, I love that term. So they're kind of saying, let me see if this is true or not. Like that there was, they're intimating that there are aliens in the government, right? Which is, we've met her. Her name's Lauren Boebert, and I'm in love with her. But I wonder,
was that you in the theater?
Yeah, she's a spicy lady, and honestly, she has my vote. She seems like a lot of fun. I know she's got some bad policies, but at the same time, I love her attitude.
His wife's gonna kick his ass.
Yes, yeah, so I was gonna go. It's fine. She knows. I've already openly talked about how I was in the theater. Now I wanted to know if like, let's say the NHIs are around. They're aliens, quote unquote, biological aliens in the government. Like, honestly, like, why in the living fuck do we trust them? Why are we working with these guys? What is it like? What could possibly be? Because there's this booth out there. Have you seen the anti-alien booth?
It's very funny. The guy with the alien with a line through it says, our turf.
Yes. He goes so far into the anti-retrofitting, like making alien technology for ours, saying that, well, now we're dependent on alien technology and we need to create an independence from alien technology because we're in bed with the enemy. You know, but so it's like, my question, so are physical aliens bad? Like, why would we want to deal with them?
Oh, hell no.
You're like, I'm a journalist. I actually still need to see.
I'm a journalist in training. Okay, so check it out. You said a whole bunch of stuff that I was unaware of. I didn't know aliens running our government.
No, they're not running the government. I think they're like working the McDonald's at the Pentagon and stuff like that.
That makes more sense.
Yes.
What is the specific question you have on that?
Like, why would we trust them? Like, if we know them, about aliens and we know that they're aliens, why the hell would we trust them?
So, yeah, just I'll answer that real briefly, which is that to the best of my knowledge, the people that have the highest level of understanding, far beyond mine in Georgia, what's actually going on with UFOs and the craft and the technology, is that there has been stories told to them, believe it or not, I don't know, I wasn't there, by NHI. Like, so they're like, there's some form of comms, right? Now, they do not trust the government folks that I would say were in a position where that could be true. No fucking way do they trust what they've been told. You know, you can go into a preserve and, you know, or you can go into like a farm and, you know, give a cattle some antibiotics and give it water, and but you're going to end up eating that motherfucker. So how can we trust the intent of, they could just be lying to us if this is true and this is real.
Sure, yeah, right? And the most extreme version of it, there's still a truth to it. So if it is indeed true that there are non-human intelligences that actively work for the government, it's like, do they get benefits? Like, do they go, do they get fucking health insurance?
I didn't know that was a thing. People say that, we have like ETs in our government.
Yeah, that they hang out.
I don't know anything about UFOs.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one. I don't find that to be credible, that there are ETs in our government. I would say this about aliens. And when we say aliens, it's non-human intelligence, doesn't mean ET. It's a Whitley Strieber once said to me, they are the true architects of the secrecy. Our government and other governments lie to the public. They've deceived us, but they're the architects of it. They set the template for this. They've been around probably forever, as long as we've been here. They are secretive. They are deceptive. They take on different shapes and forms. They mess with our brains, our perceptive abilities. They hide. They abduct people. I believe those stories to be true. I physically abduct people and conduct medical experiments on them. Yes. We don't know why. They haven't told us. They have the ability to make themselves patently obvious. They could appear as the Phoenix lights and sit over major cities and show us that they're there. They don't. Why are they deceptive? Why are they secretive? What is the long-term plan? Where are they from? What have they got in mind for us? You know, we get people who say they've communicated, they've received messages from them.
Yes.
And often it's like alien editorials. Look, quit screwing around with nuclear weapons. Take care of your planet. You're poisoning yourself. Sometimes seems like they're a lot more interested in the Earth than they are in us.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Take care of yourself, as if they have a long-term interest in the planet. Not necessarily in us.
It could also literally be like a real estate plan.
Sure.
Where you're like, once y'all monkeys wipe yourselves out, then we're going to move in.
Yeah, so once we get these bad tenants out of the apartment, we can rent it for more money, son.
Yeah. We can flip this.
And dude, we're the greatest show in the solar system. Yeah. Earth is just wild, man. Look at what we fucking do. I mean, I could imagine this is just tourism.
Oh, yeah. I like that concept. That's like one of those things that they talk about. I always like the far-flung, like the people talking about agendas, because like, obviously we can't know. Like Richard Dolan just did a whole thing on alien agendas where I was like listening to him and he was kind of saying, but you are guessing, right? A lot of this is the drawings of several of the women that we have seen here at the festival, right? Where they are normally drawing of, and a lot of times they do end up looking like an ex-boyfriend or some ex-husband, like long flowing blonde hair, you know, like, but you know, it's just interesting to see that like we can try to apply some kind of sense to something that literally couldn't make sense to us if we wanted it to.
Now, when you were saying about they're probably, if they abducted people here, don't you think that if we ever got advanced enough to go to another planet and we saw a non-human life form, we would abduct it just to run tests on it?
We'd take soil samples. We'd bring home. I mean, what did they do when they got to the New World? The Europeans got here and took back all kinds of plants they didn't have in Europe and took slaves. And look at this. Look at this goofy species we've got here.
Can you imagine if E.T., the little alien from the movie, what if it landed and instead of with the Henry Thomas and all these cute ass nice kids, what if it was like Dylan Klebold?
Yeah, if it was Philly.
It was the kids from Columbine. Like, what if it was a bunch of evil little kids just kicked it to death? Whole movie be over.
Punch the gas. There's Earth. Go.
Yeah, like, we can't go back there. They killed my son.
Yeah, I don't know. We're pretty cool. Human beings are pretty cool. I don't know the fascination. There seems to be an observation program. I mean, look, all jokes aside, this UFO thing isn't new. It's been happening for a long time. We call it by different names, but these reports of craft of unknown origin that can all do all this amazing stuff, outpace our greatest warcraft today. It's been around forever, man. So whatever's operating this machinery, whatever intelligence, if they're drones, if it's AI, if it's cybernetic organisms that were made and printed in a 3D printer out of biological flesh, Who fucking knows? Don't know. But I just know this is nothing new. And these reports have been repeated over decades and centuries. And it's one of the uncharted territories human beings have ever had to deal with.
Terrence McKenna, the father of ayahuasca and psychedelics, and a really interesting guy, a deep thinker. He thinks that we're interacting with an intelligence that masquerades as aliens over the centuries. It takes a lot of different forms. Are there really 150 different kinds of aliens? I mean, big tall ones and Aryans and reptilians and insectoids and little tiny grays and tall grays. And are there really that many different species, or do they assume a different form, or they make it look like it's a different form in our heads?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the idea that maybe it's an overarching intelligence that takes different forms and messes with us.
Well, I also love Terrence McKenna's concept of the constant search for novelty, that the universe has a novelty upset, like it's constantly making new, but that overcomplication will also is sort of like cancer. It's a never-ending growth of newness that makes things constantly, like, fractally more complicated, which is partially why, but it's like, it's got something to do with how we think about ourselves. Yeah. I love Terrence McKenna. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's one of
mushrooms are great, too.
So. Hey, hey, you know, it does help. Yeah.
Dennis McKenna, his brother, if you've never had him on the show, he's a really interesting guy. He and his brother, the Brotherhood of the Screaming Abyss was the book that they wrote together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's carried on the work. He has an institute that promotes the psychedelics and what you can learn from it, and believes that you can interact with alien intelligence through the use of these substances.
Have you ever used ayahuasca?
I have not. No.
Would you ever do that?
Would you ever do DMT?
Yeah. Would you ever do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, but it'd have to be a special kind of a setting.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
I know about the purging, like a guy named Steve or whatever. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be there. I don't want to be
a group of people where I have to have excrement coming out and barfing at the same time.
Yeah. The camera crew won't be there while you're puking your guts out.
Honestly, though, that's some good imagery. You haven't seen George that moment. Like, yeah, George Fiedel next to a bonfire might actually be really awesome.
He's made of like Superman titanium steel. The aliens would be scared of him, man. I don't know what would happen.
This is really, thank you guys so much for sitting and having kind of an informal talk about this. I know one thing I was going to try to see if you could vaguely explain to Eddie was about
Eddie's learning
about this stuff. I'm having a difficult time explaining the concept of what the U.S. government is. There was a bill that was, I guess, proffered by Chuckie Schumer, and then it just didn't, it got gutted and ripped apart, and they're trying to redo it, right? Isn't there like a new bill? There's a new UAP bill?
Yeah, just introduced in the last couple of days. It's an amendment to the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. The Schumer amendment that was proposed last year was ambitious. Now, Schumer, of course, was the deputy and longtime friend and assistant to my friend, Senator Harry Reid, longtime Senate Majority Leader, who is responsible for so much of what's happened in the UFO world that we now know, these secret programs that started in Las Vegas many years ago.
So much
was
fun.
Because of him. So I had a front row seat, even though I couldn't report about it. Jeremy and I have done a lot of work on that since, but Schumer respected Reid. After Reid dies, he goes whole hog into the UFO field and produces this incredible legislation that basically said, give us everything you've got.
Yeah.
And we're going to use, and if you've got, they gave a grace period to aerospace companies that are suspected that do have this stuff stashed away. And they got it from government folks and agencies and give it back to us. We want it. We want you to turn it all over. The eminent domain aspect of that legislation is what killed it, because there are a lot of people out there who've got bits and pieces of something interesting. They've been paying for the research themselves. These aerospace companies themselves, they've been funding the research, haven't made much progress from what we've learned, but they've had it for decades. They're not willing to just give it up, so they use their influence to kill it. I think the new version of legislation has eminent domain again, and you will see the power of the Pentagon come forward. I mean, they have bases in every congressional district. They have ways to influence members of Congress. They have all these aerospace companies give a lot of money to key members of certain committees who are chairmen who can kill legislation. And I suspect it's going to happen again.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is we love Boeing. I have nothing against Boeing.
You'll be
I have
flying home against, on Boeing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. No, and I, some of my favorite planes. So I have no problems with them.
My new Amex is made out of a piece of a Boeing. And I'm like, that just terrifies me.
They write it on it. They said it's made out of a piece of the Boeing plane. And you're like, this should be on the plane. Like, is this why they're falling out of the sky? But yes.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, to wrap your head around it, this legislation wasn't written in a void. You know, there's direct knowledge of the people that helped craft that to go after the corporations that work with DOD as contractors who have, I'll just say hardware, but people came on our show and admitted in the DIA, full craft. So think about it this way. You don't have to know every detail of it, but the fact they were motivated at the highest levels of government to write that piece of legislation being like, we know you have it. We know they know where a lot of it's stored. And we're coming after it. That alone should tell you that the UFO topic, crashed flying saucers, although they're not all saucer shaped,
yeah,
that's a real thing. And once that sinks in and you really understand that, then the big questions start coming. Why has this been hidden? What is it, you know, who's operating them? What is the intent? What has this whole game been about? That's the stuff that just lights my brain on fire. You know, once that really sinks in, that this shit is real, man. Not all of it.
This morning, Jeremy and I gave a talk about, focused on something called Kona Blue. So in 2019, I co-wrote a book with a guy who had been at the DIA. His name is Dr. James Lukatsky. He and his, the project manager, Dr. Colm Kelleher, had been part of this program, OSAP, that was based in Las Vegas, run by the DIA, the largest acknowledged government-funded UFO study ever. It got into a lot of other weird stuff that came with UFOs, but it was hugely ambitious. They created the largest UFO data warehouse in the world, some 260,000 cases, all collated, all put together, a really valuable resource. They produced more than 100 highly detailed engineering reports about things like the Tic Tac, about human effects, when humans get too close to UFOs, what it does to them, serious health effects that have been really well documented by medical doctors. Those reports, not one single page of that stuff has been made public, but the work was done. And part of the contract that OSAP had was, look, Bigelow Aerospace in Las Vegas was supposed to get some of the goods. They made massive changes to the aerospace plant. It was a condition of the contract that they prepare to receive special materials. They never got it. When they went knocking on the door to ask for it, that's when the program got knifed and got kneecapped. A subsequent report, program, was proposed by the same people. They took it to Department of Homeland Security in 2011 and 12, spent 15 months working it out. What the documents just recently released earlier this year show is that this program, codenamed Kona Blue, was looking for the goods. And they use sort of code language, but it doesn't take much to read between the lines. We are looking for special materials of unique origin to analyze. We want to collect UFO information, analyze this stuff, see if we can duplicate the technology. Documents now available. Arrow, the current UFO program, the cover-up agency by the Department of Defense, tried to use the Kona Blue document to discredit all these whistleblowers who gave testimony about crash saucers and reverse engineering. But in fact, it backfires because that program never existed. It was stopped before it could get going, but they convinced the Department of Homeland Security this stuff is real. We've got it. Let's go get it.
Live from your grave.
That's so fascinating. I feel like it's so interesting how so many of these issues boil down to humanity, where like they kind of want credit. Like everybody, it's not that they are like even keeping it because they're like the highfalutin, it's going to destroy the fabric of American society. They're literally like, no, that's our shit. Yeah, like that's our shit. We're going to try to get something out of it for us.
But there is a level of secrecy that has been persistent. Once you get up the food chain on this and you get, luckily, George and I have been able to really get high on that food chain to people who have direct knowledge. It is, there's no intention of any of those agencies, group, or individuals to tell the world about UFOs, that it's real, there's a presence, it's been happening a long time. And the reason for that has still eluded us. Every time we get to that top moment, we feel like we're about to get a straight answer. It's ominous. They're like, don't kick the lying dog is something that someone, like, it freaks me out because it's, it is held so tight. Why, out of everything in this world, is this held so tight? And that I don't have an answer to yet. I don't.
Yeah, because open discourse amongst everyone would only improve our knowledge.
Thing is, there are inherent national security implications for this. There's just no getting around to it. There is a race for this technology. The highest level people who've worked on this that we have met and talked to and got to know really well say there is a race for it. We're trying to figure it out, duplicate it. And the Russians are, and the Chinese, maybe the Israelis, maybe the Iranians, maybe a couple of other countries. There's a race for it. And whoever gets it first wins. And so our government might want to acknowledge at some level that this is real, but they never want to tell how much we know or how much progress we have made or haven't made to our adversaries, because there is competition and it's the consequences are serious. There also is the unanswered question of what it is. We all say we're ready for the truth. We can handle it. Let's hear it. We don't really know what it is. Are we a farm? Are we a zoo? Are we an agricultural product? Did they genetically manipulate us to become who we are? And if so, where does that lead? What's the long-range plan? We have no idea. But, I mean, once you open that door, the questions never stop coming.
Yeah.
You can't just be a little bit pregnant kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tell me. Yeah, I know. No, I know. But it's also like that thing. I think that's the truth. And I think that they're not prepared for the influx literally of just the constant mountain of questions, you know, like that this is going, how much this is going to change stuff, how much this is like, you know, like what you're going to have to deal with. What if the big answer is like, well, we don't know what they are. We don't know what they do. We kind of feel like they might be mad at us, but we don't know anything else.
Yeah. What government wants to say that? What president wants to make that announcement? You'd never get anything else done, you know? Yeah. How do people react? We don't really know.
Well,
you know?
We've admitted we don't have 360 air dominance now. They admit UFOs, UAPs are real. They fly with impunity within a restricted airspace. They can turn on and off nuclear weapons. This is all documented in military files that have been FOIA'd or come out. So we've already admitted that there is a presence of an advanced technology. We don't know who made it. We don't know what the intent is. And we don't know the capability. So we're already kind of in the water. It's going to be hard to get out of that, because at this point we have admitted that our government, other governments have admitted UFOs are real. And so from there, the questions are already starting to boil.
There's also a human element to it. As I was told this by a congressional investigator who worked on the black budget many years ago. He says, look, you know, he went out to Area 51. I gave him a briefing, go here and look around. He couldn't find what he was looking for, but he came back convinced it is real. We do have this technology. It's stashed away. And he said to me, look, when this comes out, people are going to go to prison. I think, you know, a long time ago when this cover-up, our government cover-up started, there was probably a legitimate reason. We'd just come out of the World War II. Cold War was beginning. How do we tell the public about this? You know, what do you say? Yeah. So we'll keep it secret. And since then, they've told so many lies to the public, to Congress. There's probably hundreds of millions of dollars from legitimate national security programs that have been absconded and moved into something else without permission. People would go to prison for this if it all came out. And I think that was part of what the Schumer legislation would have done, is given them an out.
An out, a whistleblower.
Straight up, Lockheed Martin wanted to divest their Lockheed Martin has UFO materials, likely a full UFO. On good sources, we know it to be true. Lockheed Martin tried to divest, take it out the back door, bring it in the front. So some companies realize they're going to be in hot water if this shit comes out. And even the Canadian, one of the Canadian parliament members, the guy Larry, an MP, he wrote this letter. It's like, we better get ahead of this. If we don't get ahead of this, our nation's not going to trust us.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of where we're at, man. This is so like easy way or hard way. You know, hard way is the easy way is they stop lying and give the basics, just like we do about the nuclear programs. Nuclear bombs exist. Yeah. We're not going to give you the schematics how to build them. Same thing needs to happen with the UFO presence, the UFO reality. And if it doesn't, it's going to happen the hard way. And the hard way is going to be leaks and whistleblowers and, you know, shit that's uncontrolled.
Oh, yeah. It was catastrophic disclosure.
Yeah, that's a weird term. I don't know what that means. Nothing's catastrophic. Just disclose it.
It doesn't matter.
Easy way or hard way.
But they have really good recruiters in these intelligence agencies, because if you gave me even one of these secrets, I'd just be walking around like, you know what I know? You don't know what I know. You know what I mean? Like, It's crazy to not just get home. I mean, because I know they do get off on it. I think that's where you gotta you have to have somebody who gets off on keeping secrets.
That is true, but also, so there is an element of that, like the Gollum ring, like people like, I know this and no one else does.
The secret.
We've ran into that, but there's also people who are true patriots and see the dangers outweigh. Here's the deal, as journalists,
I just forget about patriotism. Like, I forget it's like a thing. I forget that like people really do get
it's
up
gonna
every
become
day.
Red Dawn with aliens, bro.
Yeah.
But I mean, as journalists, I'm following in his footsteps. It's like, you know, there's a public need to know the fundamental truth. Nobody has right to hold back something that is natural in the natural world from the global and American public. That's bullshit. Ain't nobody my daddy. I never asked somebody not to tell me about the world.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at.
I'm less ticked off by the secrecy than I am by the lies.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely dumping on the public and misleading them and flat out lying.
And ruining people's lives along the way.
Yes.
Straight up.
Yes.
And making it a laugh factory. Like this is not something for serious people to seriously look at. You know, that was a deployed misinformation, disinformation campaign all the way back from the day. You can trace that back. You're supposed to not take it seriously. You're supposed to be a mockery if you even ask the question. Now, where we are in 2024, it's a different world we're living in.
Yes.
When he started, they made jokes and cartoons about him being the crazy UFO guy.
Another
and
little now, green men story.
Yeah, and now people are appreciating, you know, when you really can break some of this news. But it's hard. It's not easy. There's a lot of roadblocks to getting the truth out about this, whatever it might be, and I don't claim to know it.
Yeah. Wow. And now, I guess there's no way to really prove this, but how much alien technology is in everyday life, you think? Like, do you think any of it or nothing? Some, none?
I don't know of any for sure.
You don't think we got Wi-Fi from it? That's what they say.
Well,
like,
I mean, Phil Corso, before that name went public, I was going to write his book. We had reached out to each other.
The
day after Roswell. So I knew him 4 years before the book came out, and we were working on it. And he shared with me some claims. I mean, I think they became exaggerated in the book that was eventually published. But he said, night vision. We got to jump on night vision from the eyes of these beings. He said we got fiber optics from them.
Yeah, I remember that.
Transistors.
From the ship.
A lot of really major industries and major consumer products and things that we use every day that he said were given to national labs and private labs and just said, hey, we've got this stuff. The assumption was it was from a crash of some foreign plane, Russian technology that the CIA had got, and they dished it out to industry to develop. Now, you look at the history of those particular products, no company wants to say, oh, yeah, we got this idea from aliens. It was all our idea.
Yeah, but we got it from apples.
I think the examples could have been used to inspire some research on our part. I've heard stories from direct people that Jeremy and I know that a Russian UFO crash had been used to develop a weapon that they'd just been dying to use. I don't think it's like a mass annihilation kind of a weapon, but you see these examples where Russian craft are flying really close to our ships and they come close to knocking down our spy planes. And they're just like begging for us to engage with them so they can unleash this thing. I don't know what that weapon is, but I'm told it's real, that they got it from somewhere else.
All right.
Well, they're in the middle of a war right now. Wouldn't they be using it?
You should be using it. Yeah.
I guess, you know, when do you unleash that? You know, supposedly we have all this technology that's so far advanced and 25 years in the future, and it can fly to Mars. That's what Ben Rich is hinting, that it could go to the stars and take E.T. home. When the hell are we going to break that stuff out?
Exactly. I feel like if China has the most exclusive drones of the world, they would definitely right now being a big, like saying, fuck you, Biden, in the sky. You know what I mean? Like, and then zapping in the sky. Like, why would they hold back?
Yeah. The truth is, even with the 2019 events off the West Coast, huge UFO event swarm, we don't know whose technology, those transmedium vehicles from pilots, some of the helicopter pilots, seeing them go in and out of the water. Like, we don't know to this day whose tech that is. I hear it's derivative technologies. We study this stuff. We try to get some derivative technologies through reverse engineering. But the throttle is the material science, to the best of my understanding, that we can't replicate atomic alignment. So we can't replicate, because that's how you make metamaterials that have special properties, like graphene, right?
Yeah.
Look up graphene on the internet, right? So it's like perfect alignment of atoms creates metamaterials. It's we can get derivative technologies, but we can't replicate because of where we are with material science, like the full craft or the propulsion system. This goes all the way back to Bob Lazar. He says, there's no way. There's no way we can physically make this at this time. One day we will be able to, but now Not now. So maybe we have some evolving to do before we can get there.
All right.
Yeah, hey, guys. Last podcast on the left. You guys are fucking legends. Thank you.
You are.
Thank you.
That's very nice of you to say.
Thank you for having us on, man.
You guys were wonderful. Thank you so much for talking to us. We didn't even get to our stupid game.
That's fine. That's great. Good. I'm glad we did.
Do we have time? Do we have?
All right, Would you guys mind? Are you guys?
I love stupid games. As long as I get to have a beer and stand on my head, I'm game. Let's do
it. It's called
Inside the Alien Studio.
Oh, shit.
What is your favorite word?
Nordic.
Ooh.
Mm. Actually, my favorite word is onomatopoeia, but I don't know how to spell it.
That's a great word.
Yeah, that's a great word.
It is a great word. What is your least favorite word?
Sometimes fucking George Knapp.
That's unbelievable.
Proper name.
I don't know.
Gurgle is not good.
I don't got a least favorite word, man. All words are good if used right. Go.
What turns you on?
Nordics.
Yeah.
I married one.
Yeah.
UFOs, man. I'm a freak.
Hell yeah.
What turns you off? It's like spiritually. You don't gotta worry about it, George.
All right.
Okay. You've done enough in this life.
Yeah.
Okay. You're strong enough.
Yeah, you can easily tell us how to fuck yourself.
Yeah, at any point you can crack me in the mouth. I know it's easy.
He just gives me a sign and I do that. He ain't gonna hit somebody.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And I'm good at it too. So.
What sound do you love?
Why you ask me first? This is so much pressure. Ask him first.
He just said he didn't want to answer.
Snap, crackle, and pop. That's good.
He likes a cereal man.
My little 10-pound dog howling like a coyote.
Oh, that's cute. What sound do you hate?
I'm not doing the hate game, bro. You can ask him.
Nothing comes to mind. I'm sorry. I'm not very good at this.
Hold on. I got it.
This is not your fault, George.
90% of the time, I sound in my own fucking voice. I am tired of talking.
Yeah, every day.
I listen to my own show.
Yeah, I am.
I refuse.
It's your job, though.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
What is your favorite curse word?
I'm a big fan of the F word because it's so versatile.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it means everything.
What profession, other than your own, would you like to have?
I always thought I was going to be a lawyer. Yeah, I thought I was going to be a lawyer in college. You know,
hand model. It's like sounds like the easiest job in the world.
It does. Right?
Yeah.
What's a profession you would not ever like to have?
Hod carrier.
Yeah.
Because I've had that profession and I don't like it. Also, taxi driver, because I was really bad at that.
I can't. And that's one of the most dangerous jobs.
Driving now would be terrible.
Yes.
Plumber, because I'm always doing plumbing, man.
Yeah, it sucks.
Plumber. It sucks.
Wrist deep in poo-poo is nowhere to go through.
Oh, my other people.
Unless you're getting paid good.
That's like my business, man, is real estate. And oh, my God. How many times I have to unclog toilets for other people?
Ugh.
All right. So this is the only controversial one.
Uh-oh.
If heaven exists, what would you like God to say when you walk through the pearly gates?
You can bring your dogs and cats with you.
Aww. How many dogs and cats do you have?
I don't have any dogs, but I got 6 cats.
Whoa! Hell yeah.
When my wife leaves me, I'll be the crazy cat man of Sunrise Mountain. Don't go near the old nap place.
Yeah, don't go near that. You'll get toxic plasmosis.
Good job. Nice try. Do it again.
Yeah. Fuck
that's
yeah.
That's cool.
That's great. Guys, thank you so much for doing this.
It was
and
so
being
nice
dumb
to talk
us.
To both of you.
And it ended up being way smarter than I thought it was going to be. Thank you for bringing
I know we
that.
Look dumb, but like honestly, man.
No, yeah. Thank you for bringing effort. Yeah, thank you. Guys, yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, have fun. I'm worried about you, your first UFO convention. You know, if you consent to probing, have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
But hopefully you get some interesting experiences. You know, I learned more.
Dr. Cullen probed me last week, so I'm fine.
More than I need to know. But I learn more from people that come to these, you know, than what George and I report on. So there's a lot to learn by engaging the people here. We have lots of fun, laughs, and jokes, but there's some really, really in tune people who really are passionate about this. So you're going to learn a lot from people that you meet at this thing.
And also, two cool. striking young men like yourself, you could probably get lucky here.
Hey, you know, I saw a couple of widows that were really looking for a way out. They hadn't been hugged in a long time. So, thank you guys.
Thank you. Absolutely.